Well, there's been a split, but it's an amicable split in the world of racing between one of the most famous families of all in Aussie racing. I'm talking about the Cummings family. Edward Cummings, young Edward, is about to go out on his own away from his father in Anthony, and obviously James left Bart and he with Godolphin. So Adam Pengelly joins us. Hi, Adam.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie. Yeah, this one came out a bit of left field, didn't it, TK?
Yeah.
I must admit, didn't see this one coming. There's always been a school of thought that eventually down the line, the Cummings clan will get back together and train under the one banner with Anthony,
Ah,
Edward, and
okay.
James. At
Yeah.
least there has been a couple of years ago, but obviously since then, James has taken the Godolphin job, and Edward's gone into partnership with Anthony for a little bit less than 2 years now, but he announced yesterday that in January he'll be branching out and going it alone with his own stable. So that means we'll see Anthony, Edward, and James all training under their own individual banners. And I suppose Anthony and Edward have got a pretty good horse at the moment in Sky Boy, who's going through the grades pretty nicely here in Sydney. He's going to be aimed towards the Villiers. So they might be able to finish off that partnership on a nice note heading towards Christmas. But yeah, Edward's going to take off and spread his own wings and open up his own business. And I'm sure he'll get some support from owners and hopefully build the stable from there.
Who gets Sky Boy?
It's a very good question. I'm not sure about that. Has anyone put that to them yet? I suppose the positive is that he'll be racing under the combined partnership up until the Villiers. And after that, they'll have to make a decision, won't they?
Scissors, paper, rock.
Nah, look, but I mean, look, the indication is that it's all good between Anthony and Edward, and they're just going their separate ways, which is a little bit different because the recent trends is going the other way, where everyone's forming partnerships, not dissolving partnerships.
Yeah, very much so, TK. I think in the last sort of 2 to 3 years, that's been a huge thing, hasn't it? That people combining to form partnerships. The Melbourne Cup alone, I think we had three or four maybe different individual training partnerships who had runners in the race. So, yeah, you're definitely right. The trend has been to try and combine forces and have partnerships rather than sort of disbanding. But I suppose Edward and Anthony thinks that the right thing to do for both their businesses, I suppose. And yeah, they'll be going alone.
Well, fingers crossed it'll work out
for both
of them. One time Melbourne Cup favourite Yucatan is going to be running in the Zipping Classic.
You're waiting to see a decision a bit later today, Laurie, from Lloyd Williams, whether Yucatan's get a run. But he has nominated him for the Zipping Classic at Sandown on the weekend, which is a race that we know that Lloyd always sends a big army of horses towards, obviously named after his former star horse in Zipping. So Yucatan's as part of the nominations there. He was a little bit disappointing in the Melbourne Cup, but he did pull up a little bit mildly lame, I think I saw in the stewards report there. And also, he didn't quite handle the rain-affected going. But Lloyd and Nick seem happy enough to throw a nomination in for him for Sandown on the weekend, so I was obviously pleasing them at home, and he'll be obviously very hard to beat if he can get back on dry ground at Sandown on the weekend. He's got a couple of other horses nominated for that race as well. Holmesman, who I thought was probably going to run in the McKinnon Stakes on the weekend, but didn't appear, so he's nominated for the Zipping Classic, for Taj Mahal, so Isaac Newton, and Midterm as well. So I dare say Lloyd's team will be very, very hard to beat in that Zipping Classic on the weekend, especially if Yucatan shows up.
So Yucatan was disappointing in the Melbourne Cup, and that thinking big was sort of disappointing in the Victoria Derby. And there were really no excuses for either of them. They were just sort of below par efforts, weren't they?
Yeah, you can see he pull up that slight issue, TK. So how much that was bothering him during the race,
yeah,
not quite
never know.
Sure. I suppose the one thing that really puzzled me about Yucatan leading to the Melbourne Cup is Nick Williams sort of made that comment a couple of days out from the race saying, oh, the track's been a little bit too firm, turn the taps on. It was obviously very much tongue-in-cheek his comment was made, but then Aidan O'Brien was heard to be saying sort of a few days out from the race,
can't
saying,
go.
No, I sent this horse to Australia saying he needs dry ground, he needs fast ground, he's much better on top of the ground than when he has to get through rain-affected going. So I think Aidan's probably proved right there in the Melbourne Cup. He just didn't let down. He seemed to travel okay for a majority of that Melbourne Cup, but when James McDonald asked him for effort, he just didn't really respond. So maybe it was the fact that he was just on wet ground didn't really suit him, and he'll be much better when he gets back on a dry surface.
Yeah, do you think European trainers will look at their program next year and save their horses for the Melbourne Cup? Because I remember speaking to you before Melbourne Cup about Marmello, and he said they got the preparation. Well, they thought they got the preparation wrong because they usually have one good run and then they can't back up, and that's exactly what happened to Yucatan.
Yeah, well, that theory, Laurie, has been completely debunked, hasn't it, in the last couple of years, with both Rekindling and now Cross Counter coming down to Melbourne and winning the Melbourne Cup first up. Remember, for so many years, we've always sort of said, oh, you've got to have a lead-up run if you're European in Australia before the Melbourne Cup, otherwise you're no chance. Well, the last sort of 2 years has definitely proved that wrong. And I think you'll see a lot more of them probably go first up into the Melbourne Cup, which personally I don't think is great for betting. It's obviously hard for Australian punters to get their heads around when we haven't seen them in this country before. But from a European point of view, it just seems to suit their horses a little bit better. So and you make a very valid point with Marmelo there. I think Huey Morrison, to his credit, probably didn't want to run Marmelo in the Caulfield Cup last year. I think it was probably inclination from the owners to run the Caulfield Cup and then head towards the Melbourne Cup. And he was, obviously we saw he was flat in the Melbourne Cup there last year. But this year he jumped out of the ground first up in the Melbourne Cup this year. So I think it was only three or four horses this year that ran in the Melbourne Cup first up from Europe. I think next year you'll see that number probably increase to maybe five, six, even seven, possibly horses that just straight off the plane and run in the Melbourne Cup first up.
Yeah, that's if they can qualify. That's if they've got enough weight to actually get in the field as well. And that's another issue. That's why we saw the likes of Dunedin, American, and those horses sort of go through the Geelong Cup. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy your day.